This is Michael Brown coming your way from Israel. I want you to know that to the core of my being, I am full of faith and encouragement and hope. Prepare to be encouraged today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here with a smile in my heart and on my face as well. Oh, as much as possible, we're doing live from Israel broadcasts, and I trust those are a blessing to you. But we also have some special broadcasts where we won't be taking calls, where I've got some things in my heart I want to share with you that will bless you and minister to you and help you. So sit back. Call a friend, let them know this is a day to be encouraged in the Lord. And please keep praying for a trip, that God would be with us, that everyone on the tour would be richly blessed and touched, and that we would have divine appointments along the way. Have you ever been at a funeral? And, you know, it's sad and somber and an environment, and someone comes with a little baby. You know, it's always striking. A life is lost, but then here's another new life. And you see that little baby, and the baby just starts smiling and cooing, and all you can do is smile. There's life, and there's joy, and there's something so pure, and there's something so innocent. And that's the way it is with the Lord. No matter what's happening around you, no matter how dark things may be around you, no matter how much discouragement there may be, when you look at Him, when you gaze on His face, so to say, when you're in His presence, there's joy, there's hope, there's victory. I'm going to give you 10 reasons why I am not in the least bit discouraged. You can read this as well. If you're blessed by the broadcast, of course, you can listen. But you can also just get online, go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest article, and you will see this listed among the latest articles, depending on what day you look for it. Why I am not in the least bit discouraged. Oh, there's a lot of bad stuff happening. There's a lot of messed up stuff in the world. We understand that. There's no denying that. There's no denying, look at Islam, radical Islam growing. Look at all the pain and suffering in the world. Look at the rise of aggressive atheism. Look at so many defeats in the culture wars. Look at how much backsliding there is in the church in the West. And on it goes. I'm not denying that for a split second. Faith is not denial. Being encouraged in God is not denial. Being full of hope is not denial. I simply am sure to the core of my being that God is God, that He is ruling and reigning, and that His purposes are coming to pass on the earth in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the difficulties, in the midst of the pain. And even if you're going through a personal hell, even if you say to me, Mike, you don't know what I've been through, and then you list it for me, and it is, in fact, devastating, I want to tell you there is hope. I want to tell you that God's mercies are new every morning. I want to declare to you that whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory by which we overcome the world, even our faith. So sit back, open your heart wide, and let me encourage you richly in Jesus today. When we come back, I'm going to list all 10 of the reasons that I am full of faith and strength and hope and encouragement in the Lord. And then I'm going to take about 50-something minutes to unpack them and to go through them one point after another. So if you only get 10 or 20 minutes that you're able to listen, just go to my website later, AskDrBrown.org, click on latest audio, and you'll be able to listen to the entire broadcast. May I proclaim it to you, Jesus is Lord. Therefore, do not fear. Give up.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown coming your way from Israel, not taking calls today, but I do trust that today's broadcast will bless you and encourage you. I'm going to give you 10 reasons why I am not the least bit discouraged. To read some of this in article form, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest article, and you will see it listed there. First, let me give you the 10 reasons, all right? Number one, God is ruling and reigning from his throne. Number two, Jesus is Lord. Number three, in the end, God will vindicate his people. Number four, everything Satan and this world mean for evil, God can turn around for good. Number five, God is doing amazing things in the earth today. Number six, he who began the good work in us will bring it to completion. Number seven, revival has turned things around in the past. Revival can turn things around today. Number eight, political pundits have been wrong before. Number nine, worldly ways are self-defeating. Number 10, I've seen God's past promises to me fulfilled gloriously, and I am confident that the rest of his promises will come to pass as well. 10 reasons why I am not in the least bit discouraged. I've got to tell you the truth. As I'm looking at that 10, I'm thinking of another and another and another and another and another and another. And friends, even though we do go through difficult times, and the Word talks about it, and we have books in the Bible like Job to talk about the horrific things that can happen that seem contrary to everything God's spoken and contrary to his character, and how in the end God's ways will be vindicated and his people will be blessed. And yes, I know that Peter talks about it, that we may be going through difficult trials, painful trials. There may be sorrow. And yet in all of it, there is encouragement and faith and hope. And even if your circumstances and surroundings are terribly depressing, there is a place in God and a reality in God, not something that we work up, but something that comes from who he is, that is, in a wonderful way, contagious. It can bring joy, it can bring hope, it can bring purpose, it can bring a sense of destiny in the midst of depressing circumstances all around us. Okay, number one, and again, I'm going to go through these over the course of an hour or so, and whatever you miss, you can just catch online at AskDrBrown.org by clicking on latest audio. Number one, God is ruling and reigning from his throne. Yes, Satan is active in the world. No, God is not pleased with everything that happens. But the reason that he does not intervene is not because he can't. It's because he chooses not to. The reason that he is not turning certain things around and putting an end to certain evil or raising up his people in certain ways is not because he cannot do it, but simply because he is operating according to his principles and the way he has set things up in the world. But remember, when the world rises up against him in arrogance, what's written in Psalm 2? He who sits in the heavens will laugh. And in fact, that psalm is even quoted in Acts, the 4th chapter, with reference to the people of the world, Jew and Gentile, conspiring against the Son of God to kill him. Yes, of course, there was pain and grief in God's heart as his Son poured his life out and suffered on our behalf. But on the flip side, as God looked at the plans of people and the idea that they're going to overthrow God and his anointed one, he laughs at that. I said preaching many, many years ago that God's hair is not white because of worry. If you were in his presence, you wouldn't find anxiety. If you're in his presence, you wouldn't find fear. You know, it's the way a child is sometimes around a parent, and they're panicking, and the parent is full of confidence, and they're not panicked in the least, and suddenly the child feels confidence. You know, it's like a school teacher. There's a fire alarm, and if the school teacher says, "Oh no, fire! What are we gonna do? What are we gonna? We're all gonna die!" You talk about 5 and 6 year olds. Next thing, they'll be hysterical. They'll be screaming. They'll be crying. They'll be flipping out. But if that school teacher says, "Okay, kids, just like we learned in the drill, everybody online, I want big smiles now. We are going to walk out. We're in our class is going to march out the best of all the classes." Those kids march out with confidence. Well, that's just a little earthly illustration, but come on. God, the Lord, the King of the universe, he is the undisputed King of the universe. It's not like he has a little more power or he's a little bit ahead. There is no power against the power of God. There is no wisdom against the wisdom of God. And as it's written in Psalm 16:11, in his presence there is fullness of joy. In Hebrew, it's a satiety of joy. It's an overflowing satisfaction of joy in his presence. You know, I think back to that joy when I first experienced it in depth, December 17th of 1971, the night I surrendered to the Lord. In light of that incredible joy, when I realized what God had done for me and how much he loved me, and when I knew the depth of my sin, right then and there I said, "I will never put a needle in my arm again," and I was free from that moment on. No more shooting drugs from that moment on. You say, "How his presence, isn't that far away?" No, it's as near as your heart connecting with him. It's as near as you looking to him and praising and worshiping him. You know, a lot of times I'll be at the airport and schedule's intense and I'm running here and I'm running there and maybe I'm feeling pressure because of everything that's on my plate. And I'll put my earphones in and I'll put on a rejoicing song. And next thing, I just want to run around the airport jumping and shouting. And there have been times, just unashamedly, I'm swinging my hands with joy, and my face is radiating with joy because of who he is. Number one, God is ruling and reigning from his throne. Therefore, I am not discouraged. Number two, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Friends, if this was the only thing that I knew, if this was the only thing that I knew, that Jesus died for my sins and he rose from the dead and he ascended to heaven, I would rest secure the rest of my life and I would be full of anticipation and expectation. Jesus is Lord. You can speak that no matter what you're going through. If chaos is happening around you, if there's sickness that isn't being healed and things you're expecting that haven't come to pass, nonetheless, you can declare Jesus is Lord. That has not changed. That does not change. One day, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess, things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth, Philippians 2. And everyone will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. His name remains the highest in all creation. Therefore, I am full of faith and confidence and expectation. God rules and reigns. God is King. And Jesus is Lord. Is there anything more than that you need to know that if you're right with him? If you're not right with him, you have every reason to be fearful. If you're not right with him, you have every reason to be full of dread. If you're not right with him, you need to recognize if you were to die right now, you would be guilty and under his judgment. So call out to him. Ask him to have mercy on you and forgive you and save you from your sins, the wrong things you have done against God and against man. Ask him to give you a brand new start, and he will. If you've done that, you need help, you need to know the next step, shoot us a note through the website at askdrbrown, askdrbrown.org. Contact us, and we'd love to help you grow in God. Hey, one request. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, I run into people all the time who tell me with joy, with big smiles, and I've got a big smile when they tell me how they listen to the show every day or as much as they can or how much they appreciate it. Friends, if you've been blessed by this show, partner with us. If you appreciate the outreach we're doing in Jewish ministry and taking the gospel around the world and standing for moral and cultural righteousness, partner with us. Become a torchbearer. Put aside at least $1 a day a month, at least $30 or more per month. Become a torchbearer. And as my gift, my thank you gift to you, I want to send you a complete hardcover version of the Tree of Life Messianic version of the Bible, which is a $30 value to start. Every month we'll send you a new message and you get access to our online classes and discount in our bookstore and on. So partner with us today, 1-800-278-9978. Become a torchbearer, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Together, we're making a difference. So go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Stand with us today.
God of life.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If you are just tuning in, this is Michael Brown in the midst of our special tour in Israel, first tour group I have led in Israel. And most nights we are coming your way live from Israel, and hopefully it's going to work out where you'll get to interact with our tour group there. We'll have some of them asking questions or telling what's happening on the trip and things. But today, and taking your calls live and all of that, but I'm not taking calls today. This is a specially recorded broadcast that I believe will bless you and help you and minister to you. And as I opened my heart to the Lord about today's show, I really felt this was the direction to go, and I'm explaining why I am not in the least bit discouraged. And think for a minute. Think for a minute. I should have a lot of reasons to be discouraged because I'm seeing a lot of bad news happen day and night, and people are sending me links day and night with bad news and difficult situations and on and on. And yet, I feel more encouraged, more full of faith, more full of hope, more full of expectation at 59 years old, 42 years after the Lord saved me, than when I was 16 years old. That is the grace and goodness of God. If you miss any part of the broadcast, you can read an article that has some of the content of the show, but not all of it. Why I'm not the least bit discouraged, go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest article, or just a couple hours after the show, click on latest audio, and you will be able to listen. By the way, we posted a whole bunch of important videos, my interview with Dr. James White on my new book, Can You Be Gay and Christian, my interview with Janet Parshall on Can You Be Gay and Christian, my talk at the Family Research Council, and that wonderful call we had from Mark in New York City, a new Jewish believer in Jesus who identifies as gay and wants to serve the Lord. We posted that as well. All right. First two reasons, I'm giving you 10. First two reasons why I'm not in the least bit discouraged. Number one, God is ruling and reigning from his throne. Number two, Jesus is Lord. Number three, in the end, God will vindicate his people. In the end, God will vindicate his people. Honestly, no hype. I feel sorry for those who fight against God's purposes because I know in the end they'll be the losers. They will be the ultimate losers. We who love the Lord, one day we're going to shine like stars while they will fade away into darkness. And so we should pity them rather than fear them. You know, this is a great theme of Psalm 37. And maybe I'll read some of that to you now. Psalm 37, where David speaks of seeing the wicked prosper and thrive and well, hang on, wait till the end of the story. That's why he says, do not be agitated by evildoers. Do not envy those who do wrong, for they wither quickly like grass and wilt like tender green plants. It may take a while. It may look like it's not the case. You know, you have a godly person that dies of cancer at 30 years old, and you have Hugh Hefner at 88 and still, you know, his Playboy empire thriving. And, you know, you could say God's giving him time to repent, but let's just say he dies in his sin. You see people who've done so much wickedness and hurt so many people through their own lives, and they live long and they prosper, and then you see godly people persecuted and cut down and suffering. It often doesn't seem right and fair. Be silent before the Lord and wait expectantly for him. Do not be agitated by one who prospers in his way, by the man who carries out evil plans. Refrain from anger and give up your rage. Do not be agitated. It can only bring harm, for evildoers will be destroyed. But those who put their hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked person will be no more. Though you look for him, he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land and will enjoy abundant prosperity. David speaks from experience, from a life of looking at the faithfulness of God, and one day the ways of God will be vindicated in the earth. God's people will be vindicated. Was it a couple of years ago, there was a big atheist rally in D.C., and the biggest of its kind, and of course, it's absolutely minuscule, tiny, compared to large gatherings of believers in America over the years. But I felt bad for them. I felt bad because of their arrogance. I felt bad because of their mockery and saying, oh, like people have said to me, or I've quoted it from newscasters and others, that the ways of religion and organized religion in the Bible, those are just going to be completely passe, and secularism and humanism is going to triumph. And I think, oh, what a shame they believe that. In the end, God will vindicate his people. If you could see the picture of the end of the story, you'd be encouraged. Number four, everything Satan and this world mean for evil, God can turn around for good. Really, it's hard to overuse Romans 8:28. Now we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Often, friends in the Lord, the very worst things that happen to us become the best things. And that which was intended to destroy us backfires in the enemy's face. Really, in Jesus, stumbling blocks do become stepping stones. And God works everything for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Many things that happen are evil things. Many things that happen are wrong things. Many things we do are terrible, terrible mistakes that we deeply regret. And yet, God works for our good through them. And God works redemptively through them. And I noticed this years ago, some of the people with the greatest healing ministries were the ones who suffered the most sickness and pain before they themselves were healed. Let me get to number five. God is doing amazing things in the earth today. Yeah, Islam is spreading, false religions and cults continue to grow. But for decades, those who've done demographic studies have been seeing this. David Barrett began to bring this to attention with demographers working with him in 4,000 people in countries, every country of the world. And they discovered that what was growing the fastest was not atheism, was not cults, was not Islam and other false religions. But the greatest growth was happening through the gospel, in particular in born-again, spirit-empowered circles. So if we could just see, if we could stop for a moment and see every single day how many people are getting saved, every single day around the world, countries like Iran, every year, countless tens of thousands, some would say countless hundreds of thousands saved every year. If we could just stop and see what God was doing, we wouldn't be down, we wouldn't be discouraged, we'd be rejoicing. Hey friends, let me give you another encouragement to partner with us. If you've been blessed by the show over the years, you may have to step out in faith to do this, or maybe just make the decision. Put aside at least $1 a day per month, $30 or more per month. You will be a card-carrying revolutionary. You will be a torchbearer joined with us at the hip, and we'll send you as a thank you gift when you sign up the complete hardcover Tree of Life version, messianic version of the Bible. Go to my website right now, AskDrBrown.org, and just look for the slide to become a torchbearer, or call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Be encouraged in the Lord today.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is time to be encouraged on The Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, in the midst of our first ever tour of Israel. Well, of course, I've been to Israel many times, had the privilege and joy of ministering here many times. And actually, our first trip, Nancy and I, in 1986, our friends sent us on a tour several days. So we've done that. But this is the first time leading a tour, going out with a tour group. And I can't wait to give you more reports live from Israel. Today's broadcast, though, is one that I specially prepared. And a couple of days with travel and other things, I'll be having some pre-recorded broadcasts as opposed to ones where you can call in and we can interact. But it's all the same in terms of you being blessed, you being encouraged, you being strengthened. So I'm giving 10 reasons why I am not in the least bit discouraged. If you're just tuning in, here's what we've covered so far. Number one, God is ruling and reigning from his throne. Number two, Jesus is Lord. Number three, in the end, God will vindicate his people. Number four, everything Satan in this world means for evil, God can turn around for good. Number five, God is doing amazing things in the earth today and now. Number six, why I'm not in the least bit discouraged. And before I give you number six, look, we talk about heavy issues on the Line of Fire broadcast. As we stand by God's grace as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, as a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise, there are a lot of heavy issues we talk about. And I'm sometimes the bearer of bad news, telling you this is happening and this is happening and here are negative things happening in the culture. But I'm always telling you from the viewpoint of being encouraged in God. And that's why we hear from you, our dear listeners, over and over and over again, that you're built up in faith and full of courage and strength and hope as a result of listening to the broadcast. So, number six, he who began the good work in us will bring it to completion. He who began the good work in us will bring it to completion. Look, when you walk with the Lord long enough, you realize you're not depending on your goodness, but his. You're not depending on your wisdom, your power, or your ingenuity, but God's wisdom and power and ingenuity. You are not thinking, I just have to try harder and it'll get done. You are confident that God, who started the work in you, will bring it to completion, and that Jesus, according to Hebrews 12:2, is the author and perfecter of our faith. Why is it we haven't completely fallen away? Why isn't we haven't succumbed to temptation and never repented and come back? Why is it that we haven't just gotten into rebellion and sin? Why is it that we haven't just thrown in the towel in the midst of discouragement? Some of you have, but you're still here. You threw in the towel and the fight went on. You quit and you're standing strong 10 years later, or you're still standing. So if we have seen God's faithfulness to us through the years, if we have seen him deliver us time and time again when there seemed to be no hope and no way out, why shouldn't we have confidence for tomorrow? You say, yeah, but I've seen things that haven't happened and haven't come to pass, and I've been disappointed, and I've buried people I was expecting to live with for many, many years to come. Yeah, I understand. Same here. We've had those agonizing times at the gravesites too. People we prayed for years, and other real disappointments and setbacks. And yet, here we are, still believers. Here we are, still putting our trust in God. Maybe you're just tuning in today and you have been away from God because of disappointment. And here, you tune in. God set it up for you to tune in to hear there is yet hope in God. Put your hope in God. He will never disappoint his people. In the long run, ultimately, he will never disappoint his people. Put your hope in God.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Michael Brown with a special broadcast in the midst of our tour of Israel. Why I am not in the least bit discouraged. If you've missed any of the broadcast, go to my website, ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, a couple hours after the show, and you will be able to listen to the entire hour. We've just got 1 hour of content today, not two, so you'll be able to listen to the entire hour. Or you can also read an article, which is in shorter form, some of what I'm sharing on the air today, why I'm not the least bit discouraged. Just go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the latest article, and when you do, you'll be able to read this in shorter form, but with the same 10 basic reasons. All right, let me just share a quick story. When I was first saved, I learned the song, that wonderful old hymn, that His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And I didn't know that it was from a verse in the Bible. I wasn't aware of that. And I remember going through a challenging time. And, you know, as a teenager, emotions can be up and down, maybe a little bit more than when you're older. And something that's kind of small can feel like a bigger crisis at that time. And here I am reading through the Bible in the midst of Lamentations, in the middle of the most painful book of the entire Bible. There are those wonderful words. I didn't know it was in Lamentations. I didn't know that God's mercies being new every morning was in the Bible. I just knew it from a hymn. I remember reading it and, it was like electric. It was just so wonderful. It was so faith building. Not that that verse was from the Bible, but that truth found in the midst of Lamentations just struck me in a wonderful way between the eyes and ministered grace to my heart. His mercies are new every morning. That's why we do not lose hope. All right. Number 7, why I'm not in the least bit discouraged. Revival has turned things around in the past. Revival can turn things around today. Look, I'm not saying that in our history we have ever been in this exact same situation. Just the change in technology makes today different than any other time in our history. Just our contact with the rest of the world in an active way makes today different than any other time in our history. So with the technology, you've got all kinds of trash and junk coming into our homes beyond what we've ever seen or known in our history. And yes, we've aborted 55 million babies, just staggering words to even speak. And yes, homosexual activism has greatly changed the nation, sadly for the worse, not for the better. And yet, the fact is we have had dark periods in our history before, and revival has turned things around. I remember a phenomenal lecture given by James Edwin Orr, who was the foremost evangelical Christian scholar on revival. And he talked about in the period after the Second World, after the Revolutionary War, and how there was really a time of backsliding, and after the War of Independence that America spiritually went backwards, not forwards. And in the late 1700s, there were surveys that were done on some of our great campuses. I mean, they didn't have tens of thousands of students then, but they may have had 200 or 300 students. These were campuses that were founded by ministers for training literate clergy, as one statement said. These were college campuses that were founded by believers to train ministers and to train those who go into the secular world in gospel principles. And some of these schools, there was not a single professing believer who was found. One school, Dr. Orr said that the students basically across the board had signed up for the foul language club, whereas the Christian group that met at this one particular campus, there were only 5 Christians that met together in this group, and they kept their meetings in coded language, their diary in coded language, lest they should be discovered. This was America. And then we had the Second Great Awakening, and it turned the tide, and it turned the nation. Orr talks about how in the years before the Great Prayer Awakening of 1857, 58, where it's estimated that 1 million Americans were saved and 1 million within the churches were awakened in faith. And remember, the population of America was nowhere near, barely a fraction of what it is today. So those are big numbers when we're talking about 2 million people. But Orr talks about the situation before the revival began, before the prayer awakening began. A cult was on the rise. Violent crime was on the rise. Atheism, worldliness, corruption, and yet visitation came. Revival has turned things around in the past. Revival can turn things around today. Oh yes, it will be a more radical awakening than we've known. It has to be. Has to be because of the state of the nation. But we're talking about God. We're talking about what God can do. Not what our Christian programming can do. Not what our best churches can do. Not what our best efforts can do. What can God do? Number 8, political pundits have been wrong before. Political pundits have been wrong before. Look, many are telling us, and there are Christian leaders accepting it, culture wars are over. So-called same-sex marriage will soon be the law across America. And on it goes. We've lost the culture wars, except that there are many Christians, many leaders say, look, that's inevitable. You know, that's past. Now what are we going to do? I don't believe that for a split second. Even if same-sex so-called marriage became the law of the land tomorrow, I wouldn't believe for a split second that it's always going to be the law of the land. Why should I? Look, we were once told that the war against abortion was over, and that American sentiment against the outlawing of abortion had turned for good. And today it's pro-abortion advocates who are panicking as the pro-life movement continues to grow. And it makes strides. It's making strides, especially among the younger generation. More and more young people are rising up in the pro-life movement. So, friends, political pundits have been wrong before. I shared one broadcast a few weeks ago, and I wrote an article on it, when the pollsters missed a revolution. Pollsters in the early 60s talked about what a great generation this young generation was going to grow up to be, and how they wouldn't be into rebellion, and how they would just basically participate in the American dream and be, you know, really good employees and so on, and honoring authority. They couldn't have been more wrong. Well, they missed a counterculture revolution. Who saw the Jesus revolution coming? Who saw this sweeping move of God come that would have such a profound effect on our nation? To this day, I got saved out of it. So many of my coworkers and friends got saved out of it. So many workers, missionaries around the world got saved out of it. The political pundits have been wrong before. Many of the Christian prognosticators have been wrong before. Yes, Francis Schaeffer and others warned us decades ago that we were in a post-Christian society, but that doesn't mean the gospel won't triumph ultimately. Let me give you number 9, and I'll save the last segment for number 10, because I want to share a bit more personally in that one. Worldly ways, number 9, worldly ways are self-defeating. Worldly ways are self-defeating. What I mean is this, all the ways of the world, be it sexual promiscuity, be it drug and alcohol abuse, be it abortion, be it no-fault divorce, be it homosexual practice, be it materialism and greed, all these things bring a society down, not up. All these things have a negative impact on the society, not a positive impact on the society. God's ways bring life and blessing and stability. What does that mean? It means when the dust settles, and look, it may get very dusty, to use that word for a while. It may get far worse before it gets better. We may hit bottom and crash in many ways before the turn comes. That could well be. But when the dust settles, it will be the righteous who will be standing strong. It will be the righteous who have been shown to be blessed by doing the will of God. You know, just look at this simple thing. Those who are pro-abortion, do they have large families? Not for the most part. Are they bringing more and more children into the world? Not for the most part. The radical feminists, are they bringing more and more children into the world? Not for the most part. The countries that redefine marriage, the fertility rate is dropping in those countries dangerously. And the ones Sadly, in some parts of the world, it's radical Islam that's having a lot of kids. But in plenty of parts of the world, it's the godly who are bringing more kids into the world, which means that the next generation, as we stand strong in Jesus, will have a higher proportion of godly believers than those who reject the principles of the gospel. And that's just one simple illustration. When we come back, I want to share reason number 10 why I'm not in the least bit discouraged from my own heart, from my own life, from my own experience. And I believe you will be blessed and encouraged. Remember to visit our website and sign up for our updates on Facebook and Twitter, and to subscribe to our YouTube videos to get our e-blast. You can do it all with just a click of the mouse or whatever you're using at AskDrBrown, askdrbrown.org. You'll see the icons for Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and email. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you again for joining us on The Line of Fire broadcast. Please pray for our tour in Israel. There's only one night that I will be doing any public ministry in Israel, having a public meeting where everyone can come. That'll be in Jerusalem in a special prayer tower there. And hopefully we can give you some more details about that. Certainly right after it happens, we will. But pray for God's richest blessing on this tour. And if it goes well, And the people on it really are blessed and enriched, which we're quite sure is going to happen. I mean, it's almost impossible not to happen. It's like being out in the rain, pouring rain, and not getting wet. I mean, it's just not going to happen. But if it's really something significant that we feel we want to do again, then God willing, we'll do it next year. But right now, we're focused on our current tour. I'm not taking calls today, but I am encouraging your heart with 10 reasons why I am not in the least bit discouraged. The first 9, God is ruling and reigning from his throne. That's 1. 2, Jesus is Lord. 3, in the end, God will vindicate his people. 4, everything Satan in this world means for evil, God can turn around for good. 5, God is doing amazing things in the earth today. 6, he who began the good work in us will bring it to completion. 7, revival has turned things around in the past. Revival can turn things around today. 8, political pundits have been wrong before. 9, worldly ways are self-defeating. And now, number 10, I've seen God's past promises to me fulfilled gloriously, and I am confident that the rest of his promises will come to pass as well. I just want to speak to you now as a witness. I preached whole messages just standing as a witness and sharing things that God spoke to me over the years. I don't mean every single day. I don't even mean every single month. And I don't even mean every single year that there's a new major promise. But over the course of these 42 plus years in the Lord, there have been major things God's laid on my heart. Things that became as real to me as the air I breathe. And I've seen him bring a number of these to pass. It's as if I could say to you, I've seen him bring to pass numbers 1 through 5. Therefore, I'm sure he's going to bring to pass numbers 6 through 10. Even being on the radio is your voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. This is something God laid on my heart years ago that would happen, and we are so blessed to see the fruit of it and have this privilege of being on the radio for each of you 5 days every week, 2 hours every day. So you don't misunderstand, none of us can boast about tomorrow. We understand that. Proverbs 27, James, Jacob, chapter 4, we understand that. But I am boasting in the Lord. And this is not a statement of presumption. As David said, 1 Samuel 17:30, reading from the Tree of Life, Messianic Version, Adonai, who has delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine, meaning Goliath. I've seen God do this, I've seen God do that, therefore I'm confident of the rest. So just part of my own witness, part of my own story. 1983, the Lord spoke to me deeply, clearly, in an overwhelming way that I couldn't shake, that I would be in the center of a revival that touched the world. I lived with that promise for years. I prayed, I fasted, I sought God. I agonized with spiritual hunger over it. I devoured books and material on revival. God supernaturally connected me with Leonard Ravenhill, who was the great champion of revival and prayer in the last generation, author of Why Revival Tarries. And I lived with this. I told friends, God spoke to them, I'm going to be in the midst of a revival that touches the world. It was so real to me. And it happened. It happened. I had the privilege of serving as a leader in the Brownsville Revival from 1996 to 2000. There were about 3 million people cumulatively passed through the doors of that revival. People came from more than 130 nations to be ignited by the fires of that revival. And our grads to this day from Brownsville Revival School of Ministry, which continues to this day as Fire School of Ministry, they are bearing fruit. They are touching lives in dramatic and wonderful ways around the world. The promise God spoke to me was realized. He spoke to me that I'd raise up a school that would send out thousands of radicals to the nations. And even though our school is small now, by God's grace, in the height of the revival in Pensacola, we were almost 1,200 full-time students. So many of these people graduated on the field. And I believe there's far more to come with us sending out large numbers of students around the world for the gospel. God spoke to me about Jewish apologetics. Somehow I knew in my heart that I had a destiny to be a leader in this, to debate rabbis. This is when I didn't know anything and didn't have the background or the training, but just felt this calling that in the early days of learning and studying that I was supposed to lead the way in apologetics and in Jewish ministry. And by God's grace, many others will build on what I've done and go far beyond what I've done. But I felt it. I felt, it's got nothing to do with me or you, it's got to do with God. There's not a bone in my body that gets any credit, it's God. God took me as a heroin using LSD, using diesel gas, huffing, rebellious, stupid, hippie, rock drummer at 16. That's the one he saved to do this work. But friends, for years now, since the late 1990s, so real to me, it's almost hard to describe. The Lord's spoken to me about a coming revolution, a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution. And if I'm faithful to Him, I believe I'll be right in the thick of that revolution. And as I wrote in the article about this, I feel this so deeply I can reach out and touch it. I remember telling a board member, I can't shake this. And he said, Mike, don't shake it. Run with it. Which, of course, was what was in my heart. Has God made promises to you personally? Has He delivered you from the lion and the bear? Well, then He bring down this Goliath too. And what's He promised all of us in His Word? I encourage you to take hold of His promises, because those who put their trust in Him will never be ashamed. Again, if you want to share an article with your friends on this, go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and click on read the latest article there, and you'll see, in short, what I shared for almost an hour on the radio. You'll see that in written form as well. You can share it with others. And, of course, you can listen to the broadcast in full at AskDrBrown.org by clicking on Latest Audio. Be sure to click on our latest YouTube videos as well. Friends, we're going to have some really neat broadcasts live from Israel by God's grace. Everything going well with the preparation and the plans and the technology. And may I encourage you, if I've encouraged you, lift our hands up, partner with us today, step out, take the plunge, become a torchbearer, become a card-carrying Jesus revolutionary. $30 or more per month, just a dollar a day put aside. For some of you, that's easy. You can give far more than that. For some, it's a real stretch. But join with us. God will bless you. My thank you gift is a complete version of the Tree of Life Bible, the Messianic translation, a $30 value. I'll send you that free and postage paid as you become a torchbearer, and then you get a new audio message every month, 15% discount in our online bookstore, and free access to our online classes. Call now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or go to our website, AskDrBrown.org, and just click, I think, the second slide you'll see, to become a torchbearer. My bottom line today, more surely than the sun rises, God's promises will come to pass. His mercies are new every morning. Jesus is Lord. Be encouraged.